Speaking of Christmas time, so we're now past Thanksgiving, and I'll tell you what, you got to get your shopping done. It's Cyber Monday. It's also the time, though, that the need from the Salvation Army standpoint to gather in the funds is most imperative. The need is there all year long, but to get in the money, they got to do that between right now and the first of the year, or literally, things don't get done. Meals won't get served. Coats won't be worn. You get the idea? Shelter will not be given. They have real expenses, the Salvation Army does. And however economical they are, they raise most. What percentage of the money would you say the Salvation Army raises between now and the end of the year? I'll bet, like, how much?
70.
70%. So online, WGNradio.com, on the John Williams page, go to WGNradio.com. See where it says shows? You'll find my show. Click on the John Williams page, and there's my virtual kettle. My goal this year, $35,000 for the Salvation Army. Woo, woo, woo. Of which I have about 600. So now is the time to make that donation if you can. The voice you just heard belongs to Elise Dobney. She's a program manager for a program that they have at the Salvation Army that I did not know, for all my work with them over the years, I did not know exists. It's the Stop It Initiative Against Human Trafficking. Is that right?
It is.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how did you come into that line of work?
So I've been with the Stop It program for over 11 years now. I worked for a different Salvation Army program that was running out of funding, and they just happened to have a need for a bilingual worker when I was looking for a job.
You speak Spanish?
I do.
Is that the language that's most helpful when we're talking about trafficking in Chicago?
After English, yes.
Yeah, sure. And what does trafficking mean?
So when we're talking about trafficking in the U.S., we're talking about two different forms, sex and labor trafficking. So basically when someone is forced, tricked, or threatened, either into a labor situation or a commercial sex situation.
Doesn't mean you're crossing borders. This is not the immigrating of people.
Correct. It can involve crossing of borders, but we serve a lot of individuals who were born and raised in Illinois, born and raised in Chicago, who are experiencing trafficking here in Chicago.
So they're not going anywhere. They're staying in Chicago, but somebody else is controlling their destiny. They're using them as a commodity for profit.
Exactly.
And that's a big deal in Chicago relative to other cities, or can you just give me a handle on it?
Yeah, it's a really big deal, not just in the city limits of Chicago, but really across the northern side of Illinois. We see a lot of human trafficking, both sex and labor trafficking.
Give me an example. What are we talking about here? What would be a scenario in which you would get involved?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of individuals right now who did come to the U.S. from other countries, but came over on temporary work visas. And once they arrived to work as a nanny, their rights were kind of exploited and taken away, and they were threatened with deportation if they didn't do exactly as the family desired, not paid a fair livable wage, not allowed to go, and told that if they would leave, maybe their family members would be injured. And so they felt like they had no option but to continue working in that nanny situation.
As a nanny?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I did not expect that. I mean, it would seem to me like somebody with the resources or the need would not be so monstrous as to put these people in some sort of indentured servitude like you're describing. But that happens, huh?
It does happen.
Huh. But these are not people who are being sexually exploited, but rather just as in-home labor.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of misinformation around trafficking. We do have a significant problem with sex trafficking, but we also have a huge problem with labor trafficking, and it just goes largely unaddressed and unacknowledged in our communities. Huh.
What's another scenario that you guys might get involved in?
Yeah, so another scenario might be someone who was maybe 15, had lots of vulnerabilities in their life, had lots of moments when someone could approach and build relationship. And so someone approaches and they start to build relationship, becomes a romantic relationship, and eventually that romantic relationship might turn into a, you know, I love you, I need a really big favor because I'm having trouble making rent this month. And that young person who's 15 has to go out and trade sex for money in order to make a payment towards rent. And that night, that one time favor can turn into a nightly exploitation.
How do these people find you then? So they say, when do they know they can reach out? When do they reach out?
Yeah, so I think an important part of our program is this recognition that we need to really restore choice in people's life, and that starts at the beginning of what it looks like to engage and whether they're ready to engage in supportive services at all, and when they're ready to leave, knowing that there's a resource available. So we do a lot of trainings with community providers who are already actively engaging with folks who are experiencing trafficking so that they know about our resource and can offer support if someone's ready. And then we build relationship with people, with a lot of young people, just so that we can talk about healthy relationships, talk about what exploitation is. Because the reality is most folks who are experiencing trafficking would never identify if you said, I work with survivors of human trafficking. When we start talking about the specifics of the situation, people not being paid what they're owed, people being threatened, people being tricked into the situation, that's when it starts to resonate.
To go, wait a minute, that's me or
exactly.
Somebody I know. And maybe they don't even think that the person's breaking the law. They're just not very nice, right?
Exactly.
And in fact, is that always the case? I mean, maybe I'm asking you as a nanny to work longer hours than you want, and I'm not very nice to you, but am I breaking the law by virtue of this?
So human trafficking is both a federal law and a state law in all of our states across the country. So by committing human trafficking, either labor or sex trafficking, you are breaking the law.
I guess I knew that, but I'm wondering what constitutes that, because maybe they're not paying me a lot, but when did they cross the line?
So I think there's a lot of situations that are labor exploitation, also really big deals that don't rise to the level of trafficking. When we're talking about trafficking, you're talking about someone feeling stuck, like they can't get out of the situation. And it might feel like I really want to leave and I can't get out because I signed a contract or because my family will be hurt. It could also be a more psychological control of I have nowhere to go and I owe this person a lot because they've really stepped out and committed to me.
Do you contact police or attorneys? Do these people get criminal charges, the people that are exploiting them?
So that is our goal. So we actually co-facilitate the Cook County Human Trafficking Task Force along with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois. And the purpose of that task force is to comprehensively address trafficking, both from victim services as well as through the criminal justice system.
Do you have a safe house then? How do you help these people?
Yeah, so we work to identify housing options both locally in Illinois as well as across the country. I'm really working to identify housing that people are willing to go to. So some folks are willing to go to shelters. Some people are not and have connections in the community where they're willing to stay that feels safer than
stay with a family member, stay with a friend,
exactly.
Stay with somebody you know of that will help you.
Exactly.
But then you're kind of guiding them in this process.
Yeah, and then we act as intensive case managers, finding all of the community resources that folks are interested in. So
how do you just not get a baseball bat and go to the house of the people that are doing this to these people and whack them on the head a couple of times? I mean, I would be... This is so bizarre.
It is, and it is pretty infuriating, but our focus really is on meeting people where they are and serving the survivors and really focusing on what they want to achieve in their life.
So you don't want people to donate baseball bats, in other words?
Not so much.
Yeah, shame on me. So, but I guess monies that go to the Salvation Army fund your program as well.
Correct.
I'm just getting my head around all of this. Do people have the reaction I am having now sometimes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So here's my webpage. So when I make a donation to the Salvation Army, can I dedicate it to a specific program? Or no, you have your funding. As long as we donate it to the Army, you'll get your funding.
If you donate it to the Army, we do get our funding. You can also make a specific donation to a program.
You can. Okay. Well, let's start here. Go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page. WGNradio.com, John Williams page. There I am ringing a bell. And last year at the intersection of Wacker and Michigan Avenue, it was about 100 degrees below zero that day. We have paint expressions on our faces. Click there and you can make a donation with your credit card. And no, you know, it's funny because you say, I'm all for feeding the people that need it under the viaducts and giving them coats and drug and alcohol rehabilitation and the rehabilitation of people that are coming out of jail and we don't want them to commit crimes again. How do we help them? The sort of tentacles that a donation to the Salvation Army has is really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very wide reach.
Well, thank you for doing the work you do. I will say to you what I've said to so many of your colleagues. I don't know that I could do the work you do. I don't know that I have the disposition for it. It has not been my career, but I'm glad somebody else is doing it. And if all you need is a check from me or a credit card number, I can make that donation. The John Williams page at WGNradio.com. Elise Dobney, keep up the good work. Let us know if we can do something else for you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.